Porch Light Family Media,
your source for family-centered content.
PorchLightFamilyMedia.com.
And now, Audio Theater Central.
Oh, hi there. I'm John Avery Whittaker. But most folks around here call me Whit.
My name is Finian Jones, and you are...
Hello, I'm Dave Arnold, your host for Focus on the Family Radio Theater.
Hello, I'm JD.
And I'm Roy.
And I am Andrew.
Welcome to Audio Theater Central. This is the show that's all about family-friendly audio drama. We talk about what we like to call the top three, which is Focus on the Family Radio Theater, Lamplighter Theater, and Adventures in Odyssey. And every once in a while, just to mix it up, we talk about something else that fits into that realm of family-friendly audio drama, which is the case today. We've got a review of In Freedom's Cause from Heirloom Audio's series, The Extraordinary Adventures of G.A. Henty. We've got some feedback from you, the listener. We've got some announcements coming up in a little bit. And I think we've got a bit of a newscast. What do you think, Roy?
A little bit. I was going to say the same thing.
Think you can handle it?
Yes.
Let's go.
The AIO fan site has reported that Nathan Hubler has leaked the title of the first episode from the upcoming album 59, Taking the Plunge. The episode will be titled First Things First. And that's it from the news this time. I'm Roy, reporting for Audio Theater Central.
Roy. Well, that was boring.
No, I'm telling you.
That was unacceptable. You skip out on an episode on us last time, and now you come back with just one news item?
I just say what the writers tell me to say, folks.
Oh, you must have not done very much research on this one.
I know.
That's part of your job, right? You're supposed to find the news,
my
too?
My job description, now you tell me.
That's what the problem has been this whole time.
Well, if you'd like to get in touch with us, there's many different ways you can do that. Just head on over to audiotheatercentral.com/contact and connect with us. We'd love to hear from you. All right, let's dive into this. I mean, we've been dying to talk about this thing ever since we first heard it. And
many moons ago.
It has been.
For me.
It was released late 2014, and we're just now getting around to it. The time of this recording is March 2015, but... hey, it's still a good audio drama, and if you haven't heard it yet, you're definitely going to want to check it out. Andrew, you think you can handle giving us a summary of this thing?
Probably not, but, you know, we'll take a stab at it anyway, since this is my job description. Do I have any lead-in music?
Let's see here. Does that work?
That was excellent. And now I'm totally into this. That put me right in this.
Yes.
Here.
Describing Andrew's job description most perfectly.
Exactly. Okay. Can one man's faith and vision inspire a group of farmers, shepherds, and merchants to defeat the mightiest military force on the planet? William Wallace, by his undaunted courage and strength of character, forever changed the history of Scotland. His stand against oppression, despite overwhelming odds, inspired the heroic leader who would eventually gain Scotland's freedom, King Robert the Bruce. The source of Wallace's fire was his faith in God.
So this amazing story is obviously a historical drama based on the novel by G.A. Henty. And the one thing that really stood out to me... right out of the gate on this one, is that they kept the same characters again. So Ned and Gerald were in Under Drake's Flag as they kind of did the bookend thing again, like Lamplighter does.
Right.
But then they kept those same names for the main characters of the body of the story, which was kind of odd to me.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
You liked it?
It seems like they're going to do that for every one of them. I think it's a cool theme to run with.
The Ned and Gerald?
Yeah, Ned and Gerald are always going to be in the story, and the boys. in the bookend.
I'm totally fine. Cool. I'm totally fine with them being in the bookend, but it just seems kind of odd that always the main characters in the story here is going to be Ned and Gerald too. But
I think initially they did that because the kids weren't interested in history, right? So he said, "Oh, they just happened to be named Ned and Gerald."
Yeah.
So now they're continuing to be named Ned and Gerald.
Right.
And
we'll one kid isn't interested in history. The other one is. Yeah.
And one's a little more brainy than the
right.
And they keep that kind of running through, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Even in the fiction part of the William Wallace story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's about 2.5 hours long. And I have to say that it's just a crazy ride from the beginning. I mean, it's just one. It seems like it's one battle after another.
Yeah, it does. It's like a battle, pause, prepare for battle. Another battle, pause, prepare for battle. Another battle. It just kind of goes that way. And fairly soon in the story, tragedy strikes. I mean, it's...
Yeah, like right
on. Very intense story, that's for sure.
I will have to say that it took me a while to like actually start listening to this. I don't know what it was, but it took me like... I know this isn't the case with you two, but...
Like, well, you just open your ears.
I know. I know. But like we would listen to it. And then like for some reason, just like listen to it, try to listen to it. And then finally just like just sat down, just listened to it. It really got into it. Then we couldn't put it down. So
put it down?
Yeah.
Were you holding it?
Yeah. Just like holding it up in the air.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought you had a digital copy. I don't know how you were doing that.
You know what I'm saying. couldn't turn it off. Oh, you can't turn it off.
There you go.
Yeah. Is that like you can't just eat one?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Same kind of thing, right?
Right, right.
One thing that I thought was really cool is in the first bookend, he referenced a model of the Golden Hind, which was in Mr. George's study.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was cool because they're kind of tying back into the previous
one. Drake story, yeah.
And just... by accident, as I was looking around on Amazon, I found that there's a little model kit where you can actually put together a model of the Golden Hind.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's neat.
Yeah, so I thought that's cool. There's a link in the show notes if you want to check that out. But another thing that was interesting about the bookend area or his study is it kind of brought back to me like the thought of Finian's shop with all these different things from around the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I think it's a really cool approach that they're taking with this.
I thought it was really funny how he pulled out the sword like the very beginning there. Like he's like, and like totally like freaked the kids out.
That's
really cool. I want a William Wallace sword.
I have a William Wallace paper opener. A William Wallace letter opener that I got from medieval times. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yes, it's very cool. I mean, it's just a little simple. Because that was kind of the whole point. His sword was very simple. It wasn't ornate or anything.
So it looks like the claymore?
Yeah, it looks like that. That's pretty cool. Like
100 feet tall?
No. It's like 8 inches long.
Oh.
So it is a minified version.
Sure.
Did you notice that one kid who is like a member of... Well, now, what did they call themselves? Ned puts together that group of boys that they start... training together.
Scottish Avengers.
Yes, yes.
Oh, thank you, Roy. I had no idea.
That one kid, Clooney, he's always the last one. He's always running in at the last minute.
Yeah, really funny.
And like pulling on a theme from last episode of ATC, he has got to be the chubby kid, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Just like from Jonathan Park.
That's right.
Did you listen?
I did, yeah. Oh, okay. I caught up.
That's good.
You mentioned this a minute ago, Andrew. It's just like one catastrophe after another. It's like there's never any respite from this battle. I mean, and one of those crazy scenes was when Wallace's wife is killed and that he's out there in that field.
Oh man.
That is an amazing scene.
Where he's just crying out with all of his heart.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's really powerful. The actor is absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Sorry to be talking all over you there, Andrew.
No, I think I interrupted you probably.
Oh, go ahead. You can say
it. Seems to be what I usually do.
You can just say it all over again.
No. It's all about you.
The actor pulled that off really. I like how they directed that and just actually produced that scene too, because I don't think you could do it like any better way.
Sure.
It was really cool.
Yeah, with the echo, like from a far distance. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. And very sad.
Yes.
In case you were wondering.
True. That too.
So the actor who played Wallace was Stuart Pindred, and I think he was his performance was probably one of the best in the entire thing, in my opinion. Of course,
yeah.
And the narrator, Brian Blessed, who is G.A. Hinty, does a fantastic job too. But
right,
something about that performance.
Yeah, William Wallace was probably even better than the star of the show, which is Ned. Like Ned.
Yeah. Young Ned was played by Hugo Docking. Older Ned was Johnny Scott. Older Ned did a fantastic job, too. I really liked the way that actor pulled that performance out. But, man, again, Stuart Pindred just did a fantastic job as far as just putting all the emotion of the different things that he's in those really poignant moments, he's able to pull that off. And also in those moments where he's trying to rally the troops and everything like that, he's able to get that emotion across. Just fantastic.
Do you have your salt? Just when he's talking and stuff. You're right. And then when he's trying to rally the man, that's what, when you started talking, immediately came to my mind when he's just like, stay true to God. You know, the whole thing. It was awesome. Really powerful.
Yeah, he had a really great big voice for it, too.
He did. Cool. I liked it.
One of those lines that really stood out to me is when King Edward's envoy comes and he's trying to give that message. Oh, we're gonna bring peace, and we just want, you know, you can be the king. You know, trying to entice him, and he says basically your other option is you're gonna die or whatever. He's like, hang me.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
That was okay. Yeah. That was
a good one. Yeah. Of course. I don't know about either of you, but what I knew about William Wallace before listening to this was very limited. It was basically
same
from a computer game many years ago.
I didn't know anything about William Wallace.
Yeah, it wasn't a period. I mean, I knew he was involved with Scotland. That was about it.
I had no idea who he was.
Certain parts of the story came as a surprise.
Right, like halfway through.
I didn't expect halfway through to lose the main character.
I know.
Like, whoa, what's going on?
That totally threw me for a loop, too.
I was waiting for the cavalry to ride in and rescue him, and it never happened.
His cavalry, like, just betrayed him.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
And then they go through the whole, and man, the whole execution and everything is like, no, someone's going to save him, you know.
Yeah,
something's
going to
happen. And nothing. Like, we just gave away the whole story, people, but...
No, because that's, like we said, it's only like halfway through.
Yeah, it's halfway through, yeah. But it's like the main, almost like the, you know, the stories about William Wallace. But still, it's amazing.
Well, when that happened, I'm looking at the... Because I'm listening to the digital version, obviously, and so I look at how much is left of the story. I'm like, What? What else could have happened?
Isn't the main character over?
Just died.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was a shock.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I did not expect that at all. And kind of going back to the Wallace's claymore real quickly, can you picture that? A 5 foot long sword that weighed 60 pounds?
It's massive.
My goodness.
It's amazing.
Swinging that thing around?
He
had to have been a huge guy.
Yeah,
I would think.
Yeah, he was a beast. He was tall. They have a statue of him.
Yeah,
over
like 6 foot four or five, something like that. Big guy, huge, and especially at that time when people were like 5'3".
Yeah,
yeah, he was massive.
They had a statue of him where?
Over in that place where he's from, that country.
Oh, you mean France? Ireland, right?
Yeah.
Scotland.
Yeah, they have a statue of him there. And, you know, his sword's like right next to him and everything. It's really cool. Google it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen some of the pictures of him. Sure. Of the statues. Right.
How did that happen?
Yeah. We still can't find him. We still cannot find him.
His
body has disappeared, actually.
Seeing some of the locations of those battlefields.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Stirling Bridge.
Yeah, like Stirling Bridge. And, oh, that was so cool. And honestly, the countryside there is so beautiful and green and everything. It's hard to imagine all the craziness that was going on at the time. But
yeah.
the fact that these places are still there and exist as they were 500-600 years ago, whenever this was.
Yeah, we're talking about the late 1200s, early 1300s. I mean,
800 years ago.
Yeah, crazy. And that's what it, the authenticity of this drama, obviously, there's some historical fiction woven into it, Ned and Gerald and all of that. But all of these places, every single one of those battles was real. And the fact that the team flew over there to Scotland to research and visit these locations, record sound effects from the castles and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, it's amazing.
So cool.
So we're almost to this point where it's like, I think it's one of the best scenes in the entire drama as William Wallace is speaking with Ned inside the cave, and he asks him, you know, he brings up the whole thing about his Psalter, which is a book of Psalms that he reads, and it's kind of a thing that his uncle had given to him. And he asks Ned if he has one, or, and he said, yeah, I have one. I just don't know where it's at, basically. Yeah. And he says, do you ever misplace your sword? He says, no. Well, then you should never misplace your Psalter.
Yeah.
And then he says, this, you see, is the most powerful weapon of all. And I love that scene. And then it goes into this whole thing where he recites this Latin phrase that his uncle used to say to him. I wanted to play this scene because it's just one of those ones that really stuck out to me. And it play that what he says here, what happens here, kind of plays a big role later on in the story. So let's take a listen to this.
Dico tibi virum, libertas optima rerum, nunquam servili sub nexu vivito fili.
What does that mean?
Something my uncle always told me. My son, I tell you the truth. Freedom is the best possession. Never then succumb to the yoke of the oppressor. Come, Ned. It is time to break the yoke.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, excellent.
And so powerful. I remember after hearing this, because he references this line or this phrase again later on in the drama. And I remember we met up somewhere and I'm like, dude, did you hear that? I love that phrase. Yeah. And you were like, yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, exactly.
Oh, I'm like, man. I want that on a t-shirt. And Roy, you're like, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So we did that.
Speaking of segues.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a link in the show notes if you want to check out the t-shirt that we had designed that goes along with this story. We'll get more into that a little later, but I wanted to mention it now because that scene right there is what kind of birthed that idea. So, but I love that phrase, libertas optima rerum. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Freedom is the best possession.
Yeah. It's awesome. Then we go like into his last battle when he's fighting. I love how they produce that when he's basically, you go into his thoughts and he's quoting the Psalms as he's just swinging his claymore and just going after it.
Yeah, as he's fighting in the midst of the battle. Yeah, that was amazing.
You mean this scene?
As Wallace fought his way forward, he wielded more than his claymore of steel on the battlefield. He wielded a claymore of mind and heart.
But thou shalt consider with thy eyes, and shalt see the reward of the wicked. Because thou, O Lord, art my hope, thou hast made the Most High a refuge.
And now King Edward himself came on the scene with overwhelming numbers of infantry, accompanied by...
One of the best scenes in the entire drama, as far as production values go.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Fantastic.
It's amazing. Just to get like all these, like make it sound like thousands and thousands of men, you know, just like screaming and yelling
and
fighting.
And it was only a handful, I think maybe 10, 15 at the most.
Yeah. Sure. Just layered all over each other.
Great job with that, man. Thanks for the segue there, Roy. You had no idea that I had that.
I didn't. Up. No.
Yeah, that was staged.
Yes.
No, it wasn't. That was really cool, actually. It's pretty awesome.
I kind of thought that eventually Ned would come across Sir John Kerr and take care of him. I'm kind of glad that I liked the way it worked out, the way it happened. It was kind of cool. Like, he finds him there taking a nap. Was it inside a tree, a hollow tree trunk? Is that what they were saying?
I can't remember. All I know is, yeah, he went to go sleep next to a tree or something like that. And then some dude comes walking along and just happens to be Sir John Kerr.
And then there's so many different themes that were addressed in this story, like loyalty, and obviously the whole thing is the main theme is freedom and everything, right. But there's betrayal and that kind of thing. I mean, when Sir John Common promises, he's got all of these troops that are just waiting. As soon as the English come, they're going to come from this way, and then they don't even show up. And right. Like, what was it, like 20,000 guys died because of that, and they lost. And that was July 22nd, 1298, and that was the battle at Falkirk. And I'm like, I just can't believe it. Like, I try to think about this because obviously it's history. So I try to think about this. If this were our country, I mean, can you imagine just standing back and letting an invading army just come in and giving out or betraying your fellow countrymen? I mean, just crazy.
Right.
Yeah, not just allowing it, but in a lot of cases helping the enemy, which is nuts.
Totally.
A lot of the allusions to liberty and freedom that William Wallace makes, and then Ned after him, actually will, if you think about it for just a minute or two, will make you feel kind of patriotic, really.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
For sure. I mean, even though this is a completely different country that sadly ended up back under the control of Great Britain, currently is under the control of Great Britain still, but... Even though it's some country far away, it still makes you grateful for the freedoms that we have.
Exactly.
Well, and there are tie-ins, and I don't know how much of this is artistic license and how much of it is actual history, but some of the quotations that we have from Wallace, they sound very familiar. Like, he says something like, are we going to allow them to reduce us to chains and slavery? And I'm like, that sounds... And that was right prior to the battle at Stirling Bridge. And I'm like, that sounds like Patrick Henry, you know?
Yeah,
so exactly. And later on, there was another time where he says almost an identical... I mean, he said, is peace so dear that it can be purchased at the price of slavery?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, that's... that. So I don't know if there is any influence there... If that's an actual quote from something that he'd written, I don't know how much of that Patrick Henry was aware of or what. Right, but I mean, it's very, very similar. But with all of this heartbreak and just one trial or defeat after another, there were just a few moments of humor in this drama. And the one that just got me laughing is the scene where Gerald is... sneaking into that meeting of the nobles and playing a minstrel.
His goat woo.
And he brings the goat bladder.
Yeah.
Let's take a listen to that scene.
I come bearing news, and news that brings joy. To all the green land, to girl and to boy.
Yes.
Hold on.
Just a minute.
I promise, kind sir, I will never annoy.
What is this?
Look, for I am your minstrel.
I think he lied there, don't you?
Yeah.
I promise I'll never annoy.
I know, right? Well, the funny part is, like, the main, like, the chop chief, like, comes in. He's like, oh, goo-woo, excellent. And he, like, loves the thing.
Yeah, you're like, excellent? What are you talking about? That's terrible.
It is funny.
I did enjoy how they placed they kind of inserted the main characters into history, because somebody on Wallace's side did go in and spy out and figure out about the trap. So, because he didn't get caught. So it just probably wasn't Gerald.
Right? Yeah.
So it's really cool that they put them in the story in places that maybe nameless people occupied or something like that. It's pretty neat.
Another really sad moment was when Sir John Graham dies at the Battle of Falkirk because of the failure of John Comyn to fulfill his promise. And he was like Wallace's right hand man, like through the whole thing. And that's also a really, really good scene where he gets the news about him. And again, that actor did an amazing job with that character. And then when he leaves, Wallace leaves and he's like, I'm going to France.
We're totally what in the world? Caught me off guard.
Yeah, that was, it's crazy.
What are you doing?
There were a lot of ups and downs in this story, mostly downs,
yeah.
To be honest. There were a lot of things that were just hard to swallow. I mean, it's like, I know this is history, but what's going on?
You know,
it's crazy.
That was a weird move.
But it kind of makes
it, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it makes sense, like, to go, I mean, because he couldn't do anything, like, while he was there.
Right.
But then when he comes back.
What it kind of reminded me of is kind of like King David and Solomon, you know?
Yeah,
King David was the warrior king, but at that point, there was nothing else that he could do as far as, that was what he knew how to do, was fight, not necessarily lead. He couldn't bring the people together, so it had to fall to somebody else.
Yeah, right. Politics wasn't his thing.
Yeah. And evidently, it wasn't Robert the Bruce's thing either, because he goes and kills the most powerful family in the whole country.
Yeah.
Kills Sir John Comyn in a church, no less, at the altar.
At the altar, yeah. And justice is served.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, he pays for many things at that point. Not just the initial betrayal of, you know, not joining the battle, but also everything else that he did.
Yeah.
Guy was a snake. It's like sad. It's sad to think that he was the most powerful guy in Scotland because he was a jerk.
Yeah.
He was like Scotland's Benedict Arnold.
Well, not to mention John Menteith and his nephew, Jack Short.
Yeah.
A couple of snakes in the grass there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was probably the worst part of the whole story for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. But again, it was one of those things that's just hard to believe that this actually happened. Like these guys are countrymen, and he just totally stabbed him in the back.
Yeah. Traded him to the king.
And wanted his sword after the guy died. Like, really?
Yeah.
What a pig.
And when you heard that comment, because that's one thing that's interesting about these stories is that they're very heavily narrated. And for some reason, that doesn't bother me in these.
No. I think it's Brian Blessed is just such a good narrator.
Yeah. And of course, he is a character
right.
in the story, of course, from the bookend. But as he's narrating that, the whole scene with Wallace's last moments and everything, he mentioned the hooded figure who's standing back watching.
Yeah.
Who did you guys think that was?
I think I thought it was who it was.
Ned.
It's been a while, but I think that's who.
Because at first I had no idea where that was even going. I thought it was like a spy or something. I don't know. It was weird. No
clue. Yeah, I thought it was someone who's going to like come and set him free. Like,
there you go. here we go. This is the guy. And then it's like, oh no, he's just sitting there watching.
Yeah.
Okay.
They can't change history.
Yeah.
And that scene, well, actually, it's in the same scene, but at that moment when he sees the priest and asks him to pull out his psalter and put it where he can see it.
Right.
Like, he didn't even have the strength to do anything.
Right.
And he's, oh my goodness, that is an amazing scene.
It is.
Yeah.
So you guys ever been to the London Bridge?
I have never been to England.
No.
No, the London Bridge is here. Not in London.
I have been to the one in Arizona, yes.
Yeah, Wallace's head was on that.
Yeah. Drawn and quartered
and
hung.
Like, we've actually seen it. Isn't that crazy to think about?
Not his head.
Well, the place.
Yes. And it's literally the place.
The place.
That's where it was, which is really creepy when you think about
it. Yeah. Hey. Like, ties right down. I'm like, whoa, I never even realized that. Because I was looking at William Wallace and, like, you know, this execution and everything. And then I was like, what? The London Bridge? So, crazy.
The whole thing with Lady Marjorie, I thought that was a nice twist. And it added a little bit, because if there wasn't that whole thread in the story, this would be a very depressing and down and out story. I mean, you wouldn't be able to sit through it, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, they have to stay true to, like, the Ned falling in love with some girl and Gerald always wanting something, you know.
Yeah.
Do you have any items for me?
Yeah.
That was really funny how he rescues her. And she's a fighter.
And that was an amazing performance.
By her?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's good.
Yeah, exactly. She's joining battles and stuff herself. Yeah. That was pretty crazy. Like, wow.
Onward, man! Onward!
Yeah.
Whoa! Fighting redhead. No offense, JD.
None taken. So Lady Marjorie was played by Joanne Froggatt. And so if we were going to say best actress, I think she nailed that one.
She did.
For sure. Of course, she's fairly famous in her own right, but she did an excellent job.
And of course, then there's the different elements of military strategy, like with the whole Stirling Bridge thing. That was sheer genius.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the last battle is kind of like the epic ending, you know, where they have 100,000 English against their small group. I forget exactly the number that they had. Oh, 30,000. That was a fantastic, just way to tie everything up, and the way that the common folk just joined in, bringing their pitchforks everything like that.
Yeah,
and this time the cavalry did arrive like it was supposed to. It was almost like a replay of the battle from before, but it actually worked the way it was supposed to this time. One of the things I remember from school was a poem about Robert the Bruce, and I never connected Robert the Bruce and William Wallace ever that I can remember until this story, but it's a little story about the spider, and this is when I think they were kind of on the run from King Edward and all the evil English had control of most of the country, and this was probably one of the worst times for Robert the Bruce and all that. And wherever he was staying, there was a spider up in the corner of the room. And every time this spider would start to spin its web, the wind would come and blow it away. And he did it, and the spider did it again and got blown away. And the spider continued to work at creating this web until finally it was able to accomplish what it was trying to do. And of course, the story goes that he took inspiration from that, because he felt like he was in the exact same situation. Everything he tried against the English failed. Every time he tried to do anything, it just fell apart. And of course, we know that eventually they were at that epic final battle and kicked the English out of Scotland. So that was pretty much the extent of my knowledge of Robert the Bruce. But this story really expanded my knowledge of that whole situation. It was really awesome.
I really enjoyed it because of that fact. Because I think I had known the name William Wallace, but that was about it. I didn't know any of these battles or anything like that. So,
right.
I mean, it's not American history, so as Americans, we probably don't really focus on it a whole lot anyway.
True.
But it's really cool, because there are definitely some parallels that you can draw. We had to fight the English to ourselves to get independence. But overall, I mean, this is one of my favorite dramas, I think, of all time. Is that too strong of an opinion? I mean, man, I really think it is amazing.
No, it really is. It's incredible. Honestly, the only reason I haven't listened to it over and over and over again is the sort of beginning to middle parts are hard to listen to. I mean, just because kind of I know what's going to happen now. So it's like, oh, man, boy, what a bummer.
Well, and you mentioned things replaying. Speaking of that, I mean, we had the whole thing where Ned gets betrayed by, well, his own brother-in-law.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be the same thing all over again. Edward's going to do the same thing to him. So obviously that didn't happen, but that was a really, really tense moment there. Like, he's standing there.
Yeah. I thought we were going to go through this again. I'm like, no way. Come on.
But at the ending, I loved how Mr. George or Hinty references the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
But that is quite another story for quite another time.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome. Hint, hint.
Exactly. Yeah.
Henty, henty.
Really?
Sorry, couldn't resist.
Oh, my goodness. That was even a little low for you, Roy.
I know.
Corn, anyone? Corn?
Yeah.
All the music was fantastic. John Campbell, of course, again, amazing job. Sound design and Foley, Rob Jorgensen. And we know John Fornoff produced and directed this production. Just an outstanding, outstanding audio drama. And for if this only being their second production, I mean, I just can't wait for the...
You're right. That is a good point. Wow.
I mean, obviously, John Fornoff's been doing it for a long, long time. Mark Drury was recording engineers. So we got these big names who've been involved in the industry for a long time. But Bill Hyde and his group with Heirloom Audio, this is a new territory for them. So to be able to pull together such an epic production,
yeah,
I think it's outstanding. And we're just a few months away from their third release with Lee and Virginia. And then after that is going to be The Dragon and the Raven later in 2015. So
yeah,
they're cranking them out. And I'm super excited.
Oh,
about this
man,
stuff.
I'm loving it. I don't know if they're using outside funding or their own money or what, but I hope that they're making money on this because it's among the best that there is.
It absolutely is. Absolutely is. And if you guys are enjoying these, spread the word. Help them to get these productions out there. Because, yeah, we want them to be profitable, so they'll keep making them. Last thoughts, Roy?
Ditto.
Hey, you used that before. You can't use that again.
Yeah.
I just like to say it because you guys just say everything I say. So, you know, it's just like, boom.
Libertas obturerum. Is that right?
Yeah, it's close enough.
Libertas optima rerum.
Optima rerum. That's what it is. Optima.
Optima.
Like first.
Optima rerum.
One last thing I wanted to mention is that they put together this really cool crossword puzzle that has all these different phrases and stuff from the story. So there's a link in the show notes if you want to check that out. You can print it out. It's a PDF and you can do the crossword puzzle with all these themes related to In Freedom's Cause. But again, there's a link in the show notes if you want to check out this production. If you haven't heard it yet, you definitely want to. This is one of the best. Okay, a couple of announcements real quick before we jump into the feedback. I briefly mentioned the t-shirt, and I wanted to go into a little more detail on that. So basically, we're using an online service to get these out to you, and we have to reach a certain minimum before they will print these shirts. So if you're interested in checking out the shirt, it has that phrase, Libertas Optima Rerum, on it. And it looks really cool. I think the designer that we got did an amazing job with it. And so it's got that quote from William Wallace on there. It comes in three different styles. You can get the men's short sleeve shirt, a ladies' short sleeve shirt, or comes in a long sleeve option. So go check that out. There's a link in the show notes for that. And you can choose any size all the way from small to 5X. So go check that out. We're trying this out. Wanted to see what you guys think about using this type of a service to create shirts. We mentioned those before. And if this goes well, then we have some other designs that we've already been working on for quite some time that we'd love to share with you. So check that out. Lastly, as far as the announcement go, there's also another link in the show notes to a survey. We're really trying to take Audio Theater Central to the next level and just bring the best value to you that we possibly can. So if you would do us a favor and just take 3 minutes to fill out that survey just to let us know a little bit of your thoughts about what we're doing here. And it'll just help us to be able to tailor what we're doing and what we're offering to you guys. We would really appreciate that. Like I said, it takes 3 minutes, maybe five at the most, but it's just a handful of questions, and we would really appreciate it if you would take just a couple minutes to complete that for us.
So, what do you think of the show?
Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, Audio Theater Central.
Hey, guys, this is Austin Peachy.
Hello, JD, Roy, and Andrew. My name is Victoria.
Now, yesterday, I received a letter from a big fan.
No time to chat. I've got an email list.
Another package for me today.
No, it's actually just your mail.
I have to say that I'm really enjoying all of the feedback we're getting on the blog lately. It's been so much fun to read all of the comments that have been coming in, so keep it up. Thank you very much.
Yes, and God bless Victoria. Goodness. It looks like she's catching up to current times now.
Yeah, going through all of the back catalog, and also Sarah Grace is doing the same thing, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think they've both made it through all of the episodes now.
Well, I just have one thing to say. I am so sorry. I apologize profusely. I would recommend getting out more. Just teasing. We love you guys. Thank you. So speaking of Victoria and segues, she left a comment on episode 52, which is where we had a discussion about whether or not a full cast audiobook is still an audio drama. And she says, great podcast, fun topic. I enjoyed the discussion format. It was a fun addition to regular programming. Question, what are the names of the people who read books aloud that Andrew and Roy really like? The only one I heard anyone say was BJ Harrison. So I know that Roy and I both have heard a guy named David Pitu, and he reads many things, but one of them is the 39 Clues sort of...
That's a series, right?
Sort of a young... Yeah, it's like a kind of early teen series. And then another person that does a really good job is Mark Thompson, spelled with a C. And kind of niche. He does some science fiction and stuff like that. So if you're into that, I guess you'd probably like it. If you're not into that, then you're not going to like what he reads. So, and then who was your guy, Roy?
The guy or guys, rather, that read for the Michael Vay series are really good.
What's that series called?
There's three or four books out now.
Is it V-E-Y?
Okay, the first one's called Michael Vay, The Prisoner of Cell 25.
So and Michael Vay is the name of the series.
Yeah.
It's by Richard Paul Evans.
Yeah, oh, okay. Richard Paul Evans. And the guy who reads for the first one is really good. And the next two books, or three, can't remember which ones, but they have really good readers for those. So.
Yes. She goes on here and says, I think one difference between a full cast audio drama and a full cast audio book is that in the drama, the actors act, not just read. They put more emotion and feel into the characters in order to get the emotion across instead of reading / describing how the character felt, if that makes sense. That actually does make sense because when you're reading a story, you do read how the character feels more than act it out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you do both, but
yeah,
there is that kind of, you get to see the thoughts of the person in a story a lot of times. That's an interesting point. I don't think we actually brought that up. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Then she says, BTW, Andrew sure can pull off an evil laugh. Yikes, that was scary.
Yeah, that's true. He can.
I will now never read that book. Not sure which book it is, but all of your acting was great.
Dracula, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. But all of your acting was great and hilarious. Fun demo. You should do that more often.
We should do more demos. Those were fun.
I should do more evil laughs. I don't think that would add anything
to
the show.
We need more content, though, for demos.
That's and I will not play Lucy anymore.
Yeah. That was hilarious. Those would be fun, though. Those are fun little things. We need some,
yeah,
we need some content for demos, JD.
I'll get right on that.
Also, would love it if you could do the podcast more than once a month. I can't wait till the next one's. Blessings, Victoria.
Well, Victoria, we would love it if we could do the podcast more than once a month, too. But
yes. And for a while we did, and I believe it's something we're still trying to
definitely
accomplish as often as possible. It just isn't possible all the time.
Thank you very much, Victoria. Been giving us lots of feedback, and we love it. So one more piece of feedback here. We got a voicemail in from Jeremiah, and Unfortunately, it was kind of distorted a little bit in some places, so I had to kind of trim it down. So what I have here is he was asking a little bit about some of our thoughts on some Odyssey characters. So
when talking about Adventures in Odyssey, you've mentioned Monica more than once. So do you think she would be great with Jason? Why or why not? Do you think Jason and Connie should go together? Probably not, but why do you think that's such a popular fan idea? Also, for someone who's never listened to Lamplighter, that would be me, what's the best place to start? Right. J.D., Roy, and Andrew, you're insightful, you're fun to listen to, you're shamelessly nerdy, I enjoy it. Thanks for what you do. I'll keep coming back. Hopefully you can find a good segue into discussing this. Bye-bye.
Yeah, so first of all, my personal preference would be for Jason and Monica to get together, to get married.
Hallelujah.
That would be good.
Yes.
That would be excellent.
There's people that write to Monica all the time saying that she needs to get married to him. So
Right.
The actress, excuse me.
Yep. And as to why people think that Jason and Connie should get together, let me quote Connie and say, I have no idea.
I know that there's a lot of people that like that. I'm like, I don't get that at all. Why? That makes no sense to me.
I don't know. I mean, that was a joke way back when, right? When Jason was engaged to Tasha, Connie had a quote-unquote crush on him. Come on.
Like, yeah, back in the day when she was dripping ice cream on his leg while he was under the freezer fixing it.
Right, exactly. Like, come on. That makes no sense. I mean, I did kind of get that chemistry feel from them in the last one.
Exactly. That's where everybody's getting it.
And I think that
right
is
there.
Where everybody gets
That's
it.
That's where everyone's yeah. pulling it from.
And I did not like those few scenes at all.
No.
It was like, what is going on here?
No.
No.
And I don't think, I mean, we talked with Katie Lee, and I don't think she was trying to put that vibe out at all.
No.
It's just the way that was happened. Written, I think, and it did come across that way. So, yeah, and I agree. I would love for Monica Stone to return and have something happen with, you know, bringing that as a big, another focal point into the series. I think that'd be great.
It was so overt at the end of the Novacom thing. Like, come on. Maybe if Kathy Buchanan doesn't get involved, we might have
Andrew!
A good outcome.
Sorry. Well, that's a good segue into his second question. Kathy Buchanan writes quite a bit for Lamplighter Theater. So where to start in Lamplighter Theater? You could start anywhere. I mean,
it's not really a
continuing series. There are little hints of different things that we get from Finian Jones in his shop that kind of build on one another. But
even those are standalone.
Sure.
Or could be.
Yeah.
They don't need to follow one another at all.
Okay, Roy, real quick. What's your go-to Lamplighter? What one do you like go back to and listen to again and again?
White Gypsy. That's the one we listen to.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Basket of Flowers, Sir Malcolm and the Missing Prince. All those are all good.
I would say either Sir Malcolm and the Missing Prince or The Wanderer would be really good places to start. What about you, Andrew?
Oh, The Hedge of Thorns.
Oh, that's
no,
a good
I'm
one.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
That's a good one.
It is a good one, but it's a downer. It's a downer. Yeah, that's for sure.
I can always hear the whole entire story in 20 like milliseconds in my head as soon as I see the title.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's boom. Yeah. I just heard the whole thing.
I was just teasing about it. It is a good one, but probably Sir Malcolm and the Missing Prince.
It's a classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and it was also the
first one they did, but it's just awesome to listen to.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of The Basket of Flowers. It's good, but
you know one that I've only listened to a few times, and I actually was thinking about it the other day. I would like to go back and listen to it again, is The Unexpected Return. Mm. It's a shorter one.
Mm, it's good.
But in the French, it was in the French Revolution.
That one's
I can't
good.
Even speak. And so I think that's a really good one, too, if you're wanting a shorter place to start. So
yeah, or a peek behind the scenes if you have a little bit of time. It's an excellent place to start.
Basically, anywhere.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think we just
Robert's Cave, buried in the snow. Oh, we could continue.
The Vanished. No, oh, no, wrong people.
I have a good place to start.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Okay.
Talk about it, brother.
Lamplighter.net.
Oh! Jessica's Journey, A Candle in the Window.
Yep. Oh, A Candle in the Window. What am I thinking? That's one of my favorites, for sure.
Yeah. Well, again, just start anywhere. You won't regret jumping into the Lamplighter Theater universe. I mean, they're amazing stories as well. Speaking of feedback, next episode we're going to be taking a look at the Brinkman Adventures Season 3. So if you've jumped into that already and you have some thoughts on it, be sure to get in touch with us and let us know, and we'll try to incorporate your feedback into our review and address any points that you have. So you can get in touch with us by going to audiotheatercentral.com/contact. There's all kinds of ways for you to get in touch with us. And we would love to hear from you. All of the links for everything we talked about today is in the show notes, audiotheatercentral.com/62. Do us a favor and tell a friend about Audio Theater Central. Help us spread the word about family-friendly audio drama. We will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening. Audio Theater Central is a production of Porchlight Family Media at porchlightfamilymedia.com. If you happen to be listening to this at the time of release and you are in the Phoenix, Arizona area, you could come check out an amazing Easter pageant that all three of us are involved in. And if you are interested, be sure to get in touch with us and I'll get you the information. You can come check it out. Do you have anything funny for us, Royce, to end this?
Somebody moved my joke book, so I have no idea. Any jokes? All gone.
That is true. We're in a new studio this time, yep. So everything has been moved.
Oh, man. Someone just told me a good knock-knock joke.
Isn't that an oxymoron?
Right.
Very true. Ducks. I have a good story. Okay, yeah. I've told it already.
Tell it again.
A preacher was walking. He'd been walking for many, many miles, and he came upon a field, the field of a farmer, cultivated. The grain was all grown up, ready to be harvested. He noticed as he was walking that this place was perfect, pristine. Every row of corn was straight and beautiful. And as he walked a little further, he saw the house perfectly painted. The little garden that the wife kept was absolutely perfect as well. You could tell that the farmer took great care of his corn, not a weed in sight. Everything was absolutely perfect. And as he was walking past, the farmer came out of one of the rows of corn and said, "Hello, preacher. How are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I'm doing great." He said, "Farmer, I just couldn't help notice that this place is beautiful. God has blessed you so much with all of these things. It's so wonderful to see." And the farmer, you know, kind of looks down and says, "Yes, preacher, you're right. God has done so much good for us. He's blessed us so much we can hardly believe it." He says, "But I tell you something." He said, "All this that you see, you should have seen it when God had it all to himself."
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yep.
You never told that one before.
Hmm?